Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As soon as he finishes, he puts the mic down, walks straight out, makes no eye contact.
Thanks.
Gets back in his car.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready! Oh, hell yeah!
It's going to be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
Welcome to the fastest hour and the greatest hour in the history of our sport. It's the Gold Dollar Classic Nitro Review. We're watching every episode of Monday Nitro until its end or ours. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, joined by Cultaholics resident WCW kid Sam Driver.
You're right.
Have you jaw locked again?
It's just how I look. I'm all right. I've been doing this thing where I was like, it's Mania. There's a chance that potentially I may be needed for the live coverage. I'm booked for
after Mania. Yeah, we're on standby, aren't we?
So like, I'm a standby. So
standby squad.
I've been trying to stay up an hour later every night. And last night I got a 1:30 and I was like, I've got to go to bed. And Cooper was giving me shit. He was like, literally standby. I was like, come on, it's bedtime. Like meowing at me. And I'm like, right. But like 1:30, I stayed up till, I know, a bit spaced, a bit full of caffeine. Ooh. But I'm feeling like I'm going to be good for tonight onwards.
That's good. That it's good. So just to avoid confusion on this. How this is working is
I just ruined the whole ruse.
Oh, don't you know, they get it? It's fine. So because WrestleMania week's a big old week, we haven't got the full time to watch World War III, but we have got time.
Who the fuck do you think we are?
What do you think we're made of time?
Oh, your job's just to watch wrestling. It's so much more, lads.
It's so much more. It's not really.
Like the watching the wrestling part usually has to happen in my house at home, and then I do all the work at work.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
But what we have got time to watch the Nitro after World War III. Yeah. So we're recording this before we've watched World War III. And then, but you're watching this after we've watched World War III.
And also before WrestleMania. Yeah? No, we're definitely after WrestleMania. How about that Cody Rhodes loss, huh?
No! Oh my God. Don't! Oh no! I can't believe the ghost of Afa.
The entire Anoa'i family, like just collectively, were the audience. I couldn't believe it.
So weird. What a weird night.
I had mates who were like, I'm going to Mania. It turns out they were lying. It was all Anoa'i. The Bloodline Rules was just a massacre. It was 70,000 people against Cody Rhodes. It took forever.
It was a long brawl.
Cody got through everybody and then Roman just...
Yeah. And it was sponsored by
Superman Punch. Yeah, Slim Jim.
So you've watched Road Mania. We haven't in this particular...
I have.
You've jumped in ahead of time.
I've seen every iteration of WrestleMania XL.
Is there one where we win?
There's one.
Only one where Cody
you're gonna come and watch every film, and now we've ruined how credits work forever.
It does. You know what? It's funny that you're Doctor Strange in this scenario. And my favorite theory...
How about Goldberg coming back?
My favorite WrestleMania theory, which may or may not have happened by this point, is the one of the Avengers Assemble. The Avengers ending, the endgame ending, where like all the baby faces just run off the bloodline. On your left, Cody.
It'd be cool, I think if we have a big cheesy like Michael Cole-induced moment of like, on your left, I will probably vomit violently all over myself. I would rather people just come out and beat the shit out of everybody and it turn into more of a... And just an absolute tidal wave of aggression on behalf of everybody against Roman Reigns because of what he's done to the title and what he's doing to the company. But instead, we are going to get somebody like Seth Rollins like jetpacking down after he's been taken to a local medical facility. Oh, no. And he comes back on a jetpack dressed as Iron Man or something. And it's going to be like, oh, fuck. Come on, Roman, beat them. Beat them.
I mean, that may have happened by now.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest part of recording in this order. Especially during this week of all weeks. Because we've done this before where we've jumped around the timeline.
Yeah.
But never during a week so significant.
No, this is a pretty monumental week. You know, fingers crossed, Cody Rhodes has finished the story. We are entering a new age of WWE with an all new title that everybody's going to be like, Winged Eagle? It's like, no.
Oh.
WWE logo without a background. It's just a big double W with sides.
He just has to carry the logo with him.
Yeah, it's like a have you ever seen like race car seat belts? You just sort of click the logo together. It's like, except the top W and the bottom W just and then the red bit at the bottom, that's the button you press to make it come off.
Clicking in his seat belt wrestling trophy.
And on the back there's just like there's a whole custom vanity backplate, but it's just stamped metal, just says Cody COD. And then the Y's slightly off, but
because they've run out of space.
Yeah.
To make it smaller.
A little bit. It's a lowercase, so it's like C O D Y. Just a little Y.
So that's happened now, as you know. From
as you know,
this in this order. But look, let's park that. Let's go back to 1996. I want to say thank you to
Gar Monroe. The Gar Monroe is Scottish and therefore is a master of the elixir known as Iron Brew. And whenever there's fancy new Iron Brew, Gar Monroe turns up on my Thursday streams and he tells me all about it. 6 p.m. Thursdays, we drive a truck around America looking for a dog that's full of drugs.
That's it.
But he tells me about custom special edition flavors. And every now and then he'll send some down. He sent us, thankfully, this week. Thank you very much, Gar. Before Mania. Just a load of this limited edition Iron Brew. There's Raspberry Ripple, and there's like a purple slushy flavor, like a berry slush. You can get it on Amazon, I think, but like we need to get more because it's like crack. People can't stop drinking it.
Do you know what?
It's like crack.
I'm glad this is in your office and
not
ours. It's
like Iron Brew is like this sort of gentle background flavor, and then everything else is going on.
Yeah, that's the mm. that is.
Now
the
if they can do this, but with Slim Jim flavor or with Bovril flavor, Iron Bov. Oh, come on.
Iron Bob. Iron Bob. Iron Bob. Someone's got to have made...
That's what we could call Seth Rollins. Get the sponsorship on the go. It's not jetpack. It's hot Bovril keeping him in the air. You hear the shrieks of the crowd as they're getting scorched by the hot Bovril. And it's like, where? Somebody's excited in the audience and down he comes.
Hot Bovril all over the audience.
Like, oh my God. And they're like scrambling. They've got spotlights.
And who wants the bomb?
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Iron Bob. He's like,
I nearly said there. Someone
eat
surely has
BVT.
To make a Bovril flavored drink. And I went, of course, there already is, you dickhead.
Bovril flavored drink. Jesus,
that's how
Christ.
Far we could spread it on toast.
We make fizzy Bovril? I might buy a soda stream and see if we can make fizzy Bovril.
You can put Bovril in a soda stream. You'll have to. You'll have to decant it. Not decant it, but you have to thin it.
We'll have to, yeah, it'll have to be like, is it more viscous or less viscous?
You have to make it less viscous.
Less viscous, yeah. So like we need to make it as liquidy as possible.
Put it in a food processor with water.
You're going to probably have to add
some
water
to it. And maybe an OXO
cube. Yeah.
And blend it, and then that hopefully should make it less
viscous.
I'm going
to buy and fucking ruin a soda stream to do this, aren't I?
I think you're going to have to, mate.
Let's get on Facebook Marketplace between we're, and let's have, if we can get one, we'll make fizzy Bovril live.
It's for science.
We'll make it. We'll do a whole stream. We'll do fizzy Bovril as a stream.
We have to bill it to the company.
Yeah. And the flights to Argentina.
Yeah. We'll do both. We'll make it in Argentina.
Yeah. And we'll go, it's like a Top Gear challenge.
People.
It'll be like, oh, there's a soda stream somewhere here in the world. Wonder where it is. And you'll see a sign behind it says Bov. And it's like, oh, I wonder where that could be. Bov Arg.
Follow the signs of Bob Arg.
And just a big picture of what do you call him, Diego Maradona in the background.
We're bringing the mailbag screeching back.
Oh, yes. Classic, I love when people write in.
Classic at cultaholic.com if you want to say hi. I'm going to read out two every week. Andrew Valentine in South Dakota. Hello, Andrew.
All right. Is South Dakota better than North Dakota?
It is,
because I'm hearing from somebody from South Dakota.
Yeah. If North Dakota wants to pipe up, they
Which
certainly
Dakota's
can.
Which Dakota's got the mountain with the president heads on it? Whichever one it is, the other one, if it's not the South Dakota should take it back.
Steal it.
I'm calling for war between the Dakotas. open warfare between the Dakotas right now. Let's try and stage a civil war. Get all of one side on one side, all of one side on the other. Flip a coin. You're north, you're south. Let's have it out. See what the fate of America is going to be.
Dakota Fanning on one side.
Oh, yeah, she's got to lead. Look, yeah.
Dakota Runnels on the other.
And the soundtrack that's playing the entire time is Dakota by Stereophonics.
And I feel like...
just blaring over speakers.
Is that Dakota?
Yeah.
Thinking of you.
Yeah.
So Andrew Valentine, before the war starts, thank you for this. With a big story of Piper's match with Hogan being his hip replacement surgery.
Yes.
That is a world which you know about now. Inquiring minds want to know if either Tom or Sam have had parts of themselves removed or replaced. If they haven't, tell us how you got some scars. For the war. The war in Dakota. I've had my tonsils removed.
I've had a tooth removed.
I've had loads of teeth.
Other than that, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've had anything like removed. I've had like, I crushed my little finger once, but like that wasn't really, it was just sort of setting it straight. I've got a bit of a deviated septum from rugby and like play fighting and stuff as a kid. But that's about it. I've not had anything taken out.
No.
Or inserted.
Well, I had my tonsils out 10 years ago this year, which they don't take them out of 30, but I kept getting like really bad tonsillitis and I nearly died at one point because of my tonsils. I got Quinsy, which is where they get really infected and they block up your airwaves. And so it's like, if we don't do anything about these now, then you might die. Mm. I'm like, okay, I'd rather not die at 30.
Well, we don't take out tonsils at 30, so you're just going to have to live with it.
You just have to die with it, apparently.
Well, you could go to this experimental hospital in France.
They might do it for you. Yeah, so I had them boys pulled out, and then I've had no real problems ever since, which is nice. Often times when I thrash my voice, but then that's not really my tonsils' fault. Thank you, Andrew. Hannah Wilson in Oslo, Norway.
Oh, Oslo.
Been living in Norway for the last 12 months. Your podcast is one of the things that stopped me feeling homesick. Jesus Christ.
Sorry about that.
You live in
such an amazing place. Having known Norwegians, they're some of the nicest people I've ever met. They're really good.
I think that's an insult, though. Because it's like, I miss home. Listen to Tom and Sam. Oh, it's shit there, isn't it? Yeah, fuck it.
It's fucking... I do not miss this. Bovril. Everyone shut the fuck up about Bovril and Smash Hits magazine. What's going on?
I used to watch Nitro with my dad. He used to call Eric Bischoff Sleazy Derek. Do you have memories of watching wrestling with the fam?
Yeah, so my earliest memories are watching Nitro with my dad in terms of wrestling. Like my mom would go to work and it'd be Friday night, we'd catch the Monday Nitro repeat at like 9 p.m. and then I'd stay up for a couple of hours and then yeah, that'd be it. Watch the wrestling, eat some chips, done. Good Friday. Have a sip on a beer and go, ugh, that's minging. Why do you drink that? I never drink that.
I'm never drinking beer, Dad. Sounds rubbish.
In fairness, it was piss water. Like it was pretty bad beer. It was Holston. So I...
pills, innit?
Or LCL.
It's cheap and cheerful, Holston pills. My dad had a passing awareness that I watched wrestling. They hoped it was something I'd grow out of, and I never did.
Can we get you into Dostoevsky? Yeah. No, I want Hulk Hogan figures.
My brothers were into footy, and I'm like, nah, like wrestling me. To be fair, when we were younger, they took us to a WWF show in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. I remember doing that. That was good fun. And then my dad would always ask how the Bushwhackers are doing. That was a running gag. Oh, Bushwhackers, how are they doing? So when I interviewed the Bushwhackers, I got to ask them on behalf of my dad, and my dad said that's the best thing I've ever been sent. The Bushwhackers talking about me and you having a fight with them. It's great that. But then it was lovely when I got to, I might have talked about it on this podcast, when I got to ring announce for Night for Impact. Mm. So when they did the Coventry show, mum and dad were like, we want to come and see you. I was like, are you sure? You don't have to. We want to come and support you. So I got them tickets to come along, and I just remember just mum and dad and my brother sat in the crowd watching the show, and it'd been a bit of a nerve-wracking couple of days because it's a big gig for me. It's probably the biggest wrestling gig I've ever done, and to walk out on the last night with my voice a bit shot, and just look out and see my dad in the corner of my eye just going, boo, you're rubbish,
you should have started shooting, just be like, look at these marks, and just gone off on you.
I embarrassed my mum because there was this famous story when I was asked to ring announce a show in like 2007, 2008. I was probably in my late teens, early 20s. And I got the location wrong of the venue, and I was way out of the town. Right. So bless my mom, she came and picked me up and drove me to the right location and then came and stayed for the show. So I told this story at the start of Impact, and I went, my mum has not been to see a wrestling show since then, until tonight! And then pointed her
livid.
Out. And the crowd were chanting, Tom's mum, Tom's mum, Tom's mum. And on the video that she sent me, you can hear her go, thank you! A little royal wave as well. Great. God, I love her. Classic at cultaholic.com. We'll do mailbag next week. Number one movie in the US for this week, November 25th, 1996.
Hit me with some good shit.
Star Trek First Contact.
Ah!
Yes! The Borg go back in time to try and prevent Earth's first contact with aliens. Picard and his crew pursue them to ensure that Zefran Cochrane makes his maiden flight, reaching warp speed.
Just fucking join in with the big space square, right? We're going to give you some cool, like, cyber eyes and shit, and you don't need to feel any human emotions anymore. Just love the big cube.
Yeah.
I think that's the future we got coming one day. There's just going to be a big cube in the sky, and it'll be like, love the cube. And it'll basically be like a combination of, we're going to end up in like Judge Dredd world, because we're already heading there. Corporations are more important than people, states, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to sort of have District 9, but I think also similarly just this weird Mad Max-y thing going on all at once, while also having just, yeah, like a really ridiculous, like, They Live scenario going on, where it's like, oh, are these cube people, or is that actually your family?
So you wouldn't know.
No, you can't tell. Are they cube people? Are you a cube person? Are you from the space cube, Tom?
But is there something
Talk
hilarious?
To me, you piece of shit.
But is there something hilarious?
Where
obvious?
Were you on the 15th of November?
In the cube. I mean, in Birmingham.
Shit. Is there something obvious?
Yeah.
There's got like a Sims diamond above their heads. And I can't tell who's who.
What's your favourite thing? The cube. No, dogs! Dogs are my favourite thing.
Sam, don't
cube.
Kill me. I'm your real dad. The guy goes, no, don't kill me. Remember all the good times? Like
worshipping the cube?
Like worshipping the cube? Yeah.
It's reminding me of, do you remember during lockdown where we had a stream where we played Among Us?
Yeah.
And my thing was to call meetings and just go, I just missed you all. And then Adam was, you all played it really seriously. Adam was like, what have you been doing, Tom? Murdering. No, I mean, I've been sweeping. I haven't done one murder. Who have you done any jobs? Does murdering count as a job? Because I've definitely not done a murder. The thing is, I hadn't done a murder, but I just decided to talk really suspiciously.
I want to do another Among Us stream.
I'm down for another Among Us stream.
I want to do a lot more collaborative. There's a good one out at the minute. I think it's called Content. Oh, it's like Content Warning. And I was annoyed last night because somebody on my stream, it was Obscurity. I was like, oh, I've just seen this on my Steam homepage. It looks really cool. And he's like, oh, yeah, it was free until like it released the other day. And I was like, bollocks. But like, it's a game where you've got to explore like spoopy places, but Ooh. As a group. But you're sort of filming it for like a channel of some sort.
Oh, I
so
like
you've
that.
Got to try and film the most scary, weird stuff. So I need to see what that crack is. But I want to do some more collaborative multiplayer. We're going to get Convoy on the go at some point.
Convoy.
Which is going to be a good old day.
Good time for Convoy. Oh. Number one movie in the UK in November 25th, 1996, is The First Wives Club. We talked about that, I think, the other week.
That's not got any space cubes in it. It's got, like, wives.
The First Wives Cube, as it's like, now known.
There is no room for wives on the space cube. Everybody is smooth like Ken doll.
Everyone is married to the cube.
Everyone is married to the cube. Love the cube.
Love the cube only.
Love the cube.
We will recreate using tubes.
Yeah, well, you'll need be love. Fed through tubes. Everything comes through tubes on the cube.
The cube loves you.
Yeah.
As long as the cube doesn't break.
Just make sure there's enough tubes on the cube.
I believe that was the public service announcement before we all boarded the cube. Number one song in the US is still Blackstreet, No Diggity.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Number one song in the UK, brand new, number one, from the album.
I was about to be like, it can't be brand new. They didn't release Your Favorite Weapon until like 2004.
No. New in the UK is a new number one. Yeah. From the album, The Fat of the Land.
Oh, shit. The Prodigy.
Breathe.
Breathe.
Exhale.
Al Snow Somewhere is just going, this is the one.
This is my theme
this
song. This is the jam. It samples Johnny the Fox
just
by Thin Lizzy.
Lips on E, and there's just this white floating head in the corner of a club, and it's just like this perfect moment idea. It all just like focuses laser on this strobe light with the head.
And the video, you remember the video?
Oh, yeah.
It's very trippy. The band in a flat with like 90s, tripping
90s,
bowels.
90s British music videos up through the early 2000s are some of the fucking greatest. Like the video for Week on One by Faithless, where it's just Maxi Jazz on a couch, like, looks like he's coming down. And then a fucking, like, riot police horse comes, like, charging through the living room in front of him. And then there's just a riot and a massive fight between police and protesters. And he's just sat, like, under a blanket. It's so good.
It's great.
Oh, man.
It samples Johnny the Fox by Thin Lizzy and The Mystery of Chess Boxing by the Wu-Tang Clan.
Very nice.
There you go. Fun fact about it. Went to number one across Europe and it top 10 worldwide. And it won an MTV Music Award, did the video.
I mean, it's just incredible, man. Mm. Like, the 90s is the last great era. So OK Go fucked everything up when they went, here it goes again. Oh, look what we did for like 500 quid and four fucking treadmills. Aren't we so creative? Yes, you are. You pricks.
Michael Bay
got 12 million for I would do anything for love. 12 million. I know he's Michael Bay, but 12 million down to like, oh, well, OK Go did it for now. And now, like, the budget for a video is like a half of what you ever need. It's impossible. It's impossible.
Here's 12 million. Thank you very much. How's, are you going to make that video then? What video? Bye.
It's one day.
And he was never seen again.
There's going to be a gig of OK Go in Newcastle, and they're going to turn up as nobody there. And then it's just all they're going to hear is all the lights go off. Here It Goes Again starts. And then I'm going to walk into the room with an axe. It's going to be like that scene.
Fuck.
Like when he goes out of the car in Reservoir Dogs. So you're going to see the music fade off. And then you're going to see me come back in. Be like, this is what you get for destroying the industry.
It's got deliciously dark. In Japan and the US, you may have been distracted from this episode of Nitro on November 25th, 1996, because 2 days before, the Tamagotchi was released.
Oh, man.
Yes.
That shit was... Oh.
According to Bandai, the name is a portmanteau combining the two Japanese words, Tamago, which means egg, and Uochi, which means watch. Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi's fucking class. It was everywhere. I'm sure I've still got some originals. Still in a toy bag somewhere. Like, yeah. We had a
in the attic.
We had a blue and yellow one. We had a silver and blue one. And we had a red and white one. And they died, like, every day. But, like...
Don't we all?
But, yeah. It was sort of like... It was just everybody had one, right? You had everybody.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, it was like nobody had one then... At school, everyone had one after one weekend. It was like...
But then what happened is they started getting banned from schools.
Yeah, well, yeah, because in my school, they were a sign of Satan, like Power Rangers was. Like, you're not allowed to do that. It's not very Christian.
Oh, really? No, was that why you
were... No fighting, and that's addictive, and that shouldn't be... It's like gaming.
Wow.
No. I was a Protestant kid in a rather strict Roman Catholic school, so it was very awkward.
See, mine was just because I was just distracted whilst doing maths.
I think that was probably a large element of it as well, but there was always a lot of kind of, well, it's not very Jesus-y, but it was like, all right.
Jesus would have loved a Tamagotchi.
He fucking would have got nout done. He would have got nout done.
Jesus, we need that.
Sermon on the Mount, if you like, stood there going, and then you got to feed it every 4 to 6 hours. Make sure it gets its exercise. Make sure you've scooped its poop. It's not going to be happy. You've got to play with it.
Thou shalt not forget to play the left or right game with your Tamagotchi.
Jesus without sin. Cast the first Tamagotchi into somebody's face.
Exactly. Good times. In the world of the wrestling, in particular the WCW wrestling, the plan is, heading into the end of the year, that we're going to start getting the NWO Hour of Nitro at long last. Or at least that was the plan. It was set to start on the 2nd of December, right, which is next week. However, as you will see from this episode of Nitro, none of that is mentioned. So we're not too sure about it. The last word was that Eric Bischoff and Ted DiBiase will be commentating the first hour, and then Tony Schiavone, Bobby Heenan, and Mike Tenay will do the second hour, the first hour being NWO hour. But we haven't heard anything of that on telly, apart from a few like little mentions of Kevin Nash going, oh, maybe we should have a wrestling show.
You can't blame him for, like, there's a point in this Nitro, which I'll talk about it now, but it's later on. There's the point where all of the NWO come out. And it's just cool as fuck. I'm sorry, but like watching Bischoff lead the procession down. Yeah, Bischoff's in the front. Like, it looks like a bit of a twat. But like, just behind him, you've just got this steady stream of like just immense wrestling talent. Mm. And they all just look cool as fuck. Scott Hall's just posing. Everybody's just taking their time, doing whatever the fuck they want. You can't blame them for thinking we should get this its own like space. This needs its own space. But at the same time, we are rapidly expanding and it's about to kind of go, oh shit, this is elastic. It's not just going to forever go out. There's going to be points where it's got to contract.
Heading into the end of the year, there's going to be quite a few WCW names in Germany and Mexico, which means we've got skeleton crew for the next 3 weeks on Nitro. In terms of how that will look, I guess we're going to find out. I think it means
We've had this before, and usually it means pretty bland overall.
Yeah.
You'll get maybe a couple of stellar moments happening in lesser storylines, but if it's anybody major who's being factored out, then oof.
That's it. Factored back in is Gene Okerlund, as we saw the other week. He is back now on the 900 phone line. The business when Gene left to go and pursue his wanking dreams in Tibet. Apparently the hotline just didn't get the numbers when Gene wasn't doing it. They tried to run it without Gene, and they're like, no, it needs to
be Gene. In fairness, if you are calling for the first time thinking you are going to get to talk to Mean Gene, people are going to ring up. But if it's just going to be some random person from the WCW office going, get this, Stone Cold Steve Austin is bald. Oh, my God. Click.
If it had been Lee Marshall,
it was $11.
I'd have rang.
If it had been Lee Marshall and he answered every time, I'd be like, yeah, yeah, I don't care. Say the line, Lee. Say the line, Lee. And I just keep calling him. Say the line, Lee, until he did. They're great.
Yay. Yeah.
Same time tomorrow. And then you call back until he's just broken. Like, they're great.
Aren't you the guy that killed OK Go? Yeah, say the line.
Say the line. Or you'll get a gig booked as well.
You'll be saying that, OK, no. To Nitro, we OK Go. We're in Salisbury.
And I didn't kill them, they just went missing. Actually. But yeah, Salisbury,
Maryland. For Nitro. Piper versus Hogan, as we found out at World War III, is signed, sealed, and delivered for WCW Starrcade. But we have another issue tonight, which is the lack of a US champion. But the Giant's holding the belt. Well, he's not meant to hold the belt.
But he's holding it.
Possession's 9/10 of the law.
You're damn right it is. But no, it's not. But damn right it is. But no, it's not. But damn right it is. But no, it's not. It's a very back and forward show this.
Very back and forward. But despite the fact that Giant is going, I'm the champ, go away, WCW have gone, well, we're going to do a tournament anyway to crown a new WCW US champion.
They're just sort of doing that, oh, okay, meme.
Well, I guess we shouldn't. And after probably 2 years of concern as to whose side he is on, Tony Schiavone and Larry Zbyszko finally say Luger is no longer a concern. He is 100% WCW.
Look at how he's booked tonight. You know that he is our homeboy star.
Homeboy. He is the guy. And he is opening the show in a US title tournament match against Arn Anderson. They recognize, as we say, that the Giant is not the US champion. Arn Anderson is all taped up from his last trip in the torture rack.
Yeah, and he can't seem to get this one started. It's like he's trying to kickstart the motorbike, and he's sort of going, oh, it's like, no. Every single time he gets a bit of offense in, Lex has just got him scouted. And this is sort of, you can see that Lex is on track for a pretty big push now, in line with the rise of the NWO.
Luger works on Arn's left arm throughout all, because Arn, as we know, is a southpaw.
Yeah, and Luger actually like wrestling and doing holds. Yeah. It's quite refreshing, isn't it?
It is quite nice, actually. The match carries on through a break. Arn takes control during the break. They go outside the ring and Lex drives Arn into the post. At this point, the Giant appears and goes in the crowd. And he's like, shut up! I'm the US champion!
You can't hold a thing for my belt. This is my belt. Possession is 9/10 to the law. And Comrie goes, no, it isn't. And one of the Comrie goes, yes, it is. And then he goes, yeah, it's 9/10 of the law. No, it isn't.
And they said, anyway, whoever wins this tournament will have to come and get some of the Giant. So I like the ambiguity and the confusion over a tournament that has just begun. Let's make it more confusing, because the fight between Arn and Lex spills outside the ring. Lex puts Arn Anderson in a torture rack outside the ring, and both get counted out. Lex looks so happy with himself as well. He clearly doesn't want the US title.
He's too juiced to care, right? He's too juiced to care. He doesn't give a shit. Why be in a US tournament, right? I get that you maybe been put in it and you don't really value the belt or whatever. Why be in a US title tournament and not at least try and advance? You're going to get more money, surely, for being a champion.
Damn right.
Even a mid-card champion. Why go to the effort of going out there, wrestling, to then go in the aisleway, hold the torture rack on and be like, oh my God, it just made me so a wreck, like Bubba Ray Dudley putting people through tables. Oh my God. And then he walks to the back with his rager And it's like, what's the point? Now, Arn doesn't even get to go through. Like, you should have been DQ'd for this.
You've ruined the fun for everyone.
Like, you fucked this whole thing. You're at fault. Arn goes through. It's a tournament. It's not like a normal match.
You bastard.
You piece of shit. Also, top rope. Just throw someone over the top rope, Lex. Do that. Right? It's a clear DQ. Something.
Nope, they're both out. So whoever is in the tournament will possibly get a bye courtesy of that. Great way to start a tournament, lads. Well played. We get a recap of WW3, Patrick and Jericho going one-on-one. Mm. And they make a comment that says that Patrick is like 100 pounds heavier than Jericho, which I thought must have been a rib on Nick
pure
Patrick.
Pure beef. Jericho is one of them scrawny little flippy kids. He ain't going very far. He'll Nick Patrick, nothing. Though.
With the best facial expressions in all these stills. It's just Nick Patrick gurning.
It's him just like, every shot. A lot of chin going on.
Yeah. So much chin. We see a little clip of, some stills rather, of Ultimo Dragon and Rey Mysterio. They battled for all the belts that Dragon holds. We saw Jeff Jarrett getting attacked by Sting as well, costing him a match with the Giant. My best mate, Jeff Jarrett, getting a shoe-in.
Oh, he must have done something to piss Sting off, like eating his lunch or something.
Well, the pattern that is emerging, and we'll see it emerge tonight, is that Jeff Jarrett said, Sting's not with us. So Sting went, all right, dickhead.
You're not with the Horsemen.
Bang!
Yeah.
So, and we'll put a pin in that. We'll get to that in a bit. Here comes Eric Bischoff.
This is the shot.
This
is the shot, right? Bischoff emerges. Let him get down the ramp. When it cuts out to the fucking wide, you see Scott Hall just emerge at the top and pose. It's like, fuck, man. Like, how do they fuck this up? How? It's cementing now. It's like, this is it. NWO is cool as fuck. And, it's a very difficult thing to drop the ball, but it's a very difficult thing to keep it running. I get it. But, like, how?
How do you get this wrong?
And then immediately they come out of the ring and there's production issues, which is hilarious.
Oh, God, they do. But before we get into that, according to the Wrestling Observer, Eric Bischoff's gimmick is based on Gordon Gekko from Wall Street.
Which I can see.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just somebody who's like, I'm just going to take what I want.
Basically.
Yeah, it fits him. It fits his character. He's a bit of a slimy guy.
Mike doesn't work at the start, lol. But then Eric Bischoff gets very excited about the NWO sign in the crowd. This combined with Eric Bischoff clapping hands as he's walking down, it gives me the wrong energy you need from the NWO. Clapping hands and like, hey guys, great to be here. You've got signs. We love you.
Well, he's the corporate face of the NWO, isn't he? Mm. So he's almost sickeningly way. He is aggressively being a corporate chill.
The PR guy.
Yeah.
Eric Bischoff says, after the powerbomb he got through the stage at the Great American Bash in 96.
I got Stockholm Syndrome and I thought, why not? I'll join in.
Basically, he said, either you've got to be with them or against them. And I don't want to be against them. So we had a meeting and here we are. Eric Bischoff then announced that the WCW locker room has 30 days.
Mm.
And then he corrects himself, 30 days and 1 minute.
30 days and 1 minute.
In order to turn their WCW contracts into NWO contracts.
And why is that?
Oh, no.
Is it so they can build an AEW dynasty? TM.
They did say dynasty. They did say dynasty. AEW dynasty coming up in a couple of weeks.
And then he did the whole, again, you're either with us or you're against us. Watch out, Roddy.
Now, the first people to answer this suggestion to turn their contracts into NWO contracts is the American Males. Here they come, American Males.
They're coming down to kick their fucking asses is what they're doing.
No, you sure? But they're
coming down to
on?
Kick their fucking asses.
Here come the American Males.
They're not going to tolerate this shit. They're the American Males.
Well, Riggs thinks
they're
that.
They're two fun, happy, happy-go-lucky stripper dudes who just happen to wrestle.
Then why, when they get in the ring, does Riggs stand there looking perplexed as Buff Bagwell seems to embrace... Marcus Bagwell seems to embrace the NWO.
Because Marcus Bagwell's a fucking traitor and a snake. And Scotty Riggs American should have known traitor. This by now. American traitor. Scotty should have been packing like a shotgun so he could be like, click, click. I don't think so. All of you, out. Go on. And he just sort of marches them to the door, locks the door, security gets control of the building, WCW is reinstated with Scotty Riggs as the new Bischoff.
I mean, that'd have been fine with me.
Yeah.
After having this meeting, having a little love-in very briefly with the NWO, Marcus Bagwell goes to a very confused Scotty and says, look, don't worry about it. It's fine. Could you just turn around for a second? I've just done something really suspicious, but don't worry about it.
Just look over there.
Just turn around. So Scotty goes, oh, okay, sure. And as he does, Bagwell hits him with a neck breaker.
Fucking Bagwell.
Fucking
Bagwell. Bagwell.
I just booted him in the plums for the same effect. It felt like a lot of setup.
I want Bagwell's head on a mounted on a shield.
On a spike.
I want it. Pierce me Marcus Bagwell on a spike. No, I want Scotty Riggs to get revenge. I'm sick of this. Sick of Bagwell taking the piss. And now he thinks he can just join the NWO. As if he's not a Horace Hogan to be.
Well,
he is. He's about to become Scott Steiner's sidekick.
Surely the crowd will not stand for the American males being torn asunder by the New World Order.
Yeah!
NWO!
Yeah!
NWO! NWO!
The entire... I wonder why they want to give them their own show.
This is both excellent and also the wrong way around.
No, it works, right? Like, it works to have the audience divided, because if the audience is divided, they're going to be...
But they're not divided. No,
but
they're very pro NWO.
But WCW guys still get cheers in WCW versus NWO matches.
Okay.
NWO heavy segments, NWO always get massive, massive, massive cheers. And largely, you'll get people who cheer for both regardless. But at the same time, I think it's interesting, right? We've got Bagwell, exciting team here getting broken up. Potentially something juicy here between him and Riggs for a little bit. I don't, like, what happens to Riggs? Like, because it's like, I can't really remember what happens to Riggs.
Well, there's your answer.
Because it's like...
You've answered your own question.
How could you break them up when they are quite popular and they're one of the better teams in the division along with, like, Harlem Heat?
Don't worry. Because we've still got the Steiners.
We've still got the Steiners.
They get split up.
They're not going to split up.
They'll be fine.
Maybe Scotty Riggs joins Rick.
No, because the Steiners are a solid team, as we'll find out later.
Or maybe they
wouldn't
Graggle
split
Steiner.
Up two decent tag teams.
They wouldn't just decimate a load of stuff and stick them to the NWO.
That would be horseshit.
But it's why it's exciting, though. It's why it's exciting when you get teams splitting up and it's like, oh, they're never going to break up. They're never going to turn on each other and boom.
In a time where wrestling has very much been the goodies versus the baddies, it is lots of shades of grey.
The Rock was like an hour and a half or something late to his sign-in.
2 hours.
2 hours late to his sign-in yesterday. And people chanted shit. And it's like, oh, has he made you angry? Good. That's what he should be doing. This is amazing. Like, I'm living for the fact that lines are getting blurred again. I like it.
The thing I liked about that from the Rock presser when he was 2 hours late for his Q&A session was there's a video of him outside in the car park when he's already an hour late and he's just chilling.
Oh, yeah.
Just chilling.
That's what you need.
Yeah, just hanging out.
He should have just
back.
Been walking around outside taking free pictures with people.
They're charging him. Yeah. Diamond Dallas Page is out next. He is taking on Disco Inferno. Disco dances to the ring and DDP goes, fuck this. Smacks him from behind to get the match started nice and quick.
Then, did you know that there are 37 ways to apply the diamond cutter?
Go on, name them.
Awkward silence. Like, it was so out of place, that call. But it worked, but it was so out of place.
They're getting over the diamond cutter, and they really emphasize it in this particular match, especially near the end. Big brief flurry from Disco before he does get Irish whipped to the ropes and then eats a diamond cutter to a big old pop.
Just Disco with Le Freak written on his ass as well. Like, it's just, he plays his part so well.
He does.
He gets his position in every match. He gets his nice little moment to shine. Always ends up costing himself. He's just the perfect comedy foil for like this sort of time period, isn't he?
He
gets it.
He knows his role.
Yeah.
Diamond Cutter called the most dangerous finisher in wrestling.
I mean, it's
true.
It's basically an RKO.
Well,
the RKO is basically a diamond cutter. Sorry,
he's basically an ace.
So, and that's out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So this is out of nowhere.
It's nice,
except for the whole.
Well, sometimes he does the pose. Sometimes he doesn't. I like it.
It's like Randy's like, they're never going to know. They're going to turn around and they're never going to know. They're never going to, oh my God, my shoulders just come out. They're never going to know.
Shit. See you next year. Mean Gene's in the ring. He speaks to DDP like a twat.
Mm.
Page says the only reason NWO want him is because of his finisher. But then Gene goes, is it true that you have a past with Scott Hall? And DDP's like, well, yeah, I said that a few weeks ago.
I brought him in. Used to manage him. Everybody knows that.
Is it true you had a history with Nash?
Yeah, we're friends.
Yeah, we've opened. And is it true that you live next door to Eric Bischoff?
Yes, I drink at his house all the time. In fact, I came up with the name NWO and designed the merch and wear it frequently around my own house, which is NWO logo shaped.
So I'm not
part of the NWO, Gene.
Gene came...
They asked me eighth, Gene. I did all this for them and they asked me eighth, Gene.
Did all their stationery.
Vertical and horizontal print.
Yeah. On my HP
polo tops,
jet.
Embroider, everything.
Look at these fingers from sewing. They're NWO's polo
Gene.
Necks. They've not even worn them yet.
We're going to do the Diamond World Order next. I'm not doing this shit.
I was pissed off that Mean Gene came at Paige like he fucking had something. It was all intel.
It was like an attack dog. No, but it's all intel that you can get exclusively from Mean Gene's hotline.
No, it's all intel that we got while Gene was fucking away. But Gene's gone, oh, I discovered this. It clearly couldn't have happened when I wasn't here.
Gene exists in his own temporal plane.
He certainly does.
Gene has had to focus intently on wanking for the past like couple of months. It's sort of like, you know, like when they go like hyperspeed in Star Wars and shit, where everything just goes past you. It's that, but it's just like Gene's vision is just entirely like just focused, like laser focused on his competition duties.
That's all it is.
And I think that he's so out of the loop that he feels like it's weeks ago still.
It's true.
It's going to be World War III and he's going to be like, wait, wasn't that last week? And it's like, no, it's next week. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but no, it can't be right. Because this is the week after World War III, and he finds himself in the same predicament we're in.
Guys, I've got an exclusive. I think Hulk Hogan is joining the New World Order. Fucking dick.
What side is he on?
The page ends saying, let me just put it this way. I wish I didn't know now what I knew then.
And I didn't know then what I know now.
Was that it that way around?
No, he says it like twice. It was weird. I'm sure it's like, I didn't know now what I knew then, or I wish I didn't know now what I knew. I wish I didn't know then what I knew now. But I didn't know what I know now then. And it was like, right?
It's a key line, somewhat fucked up.
A key line pie.
It's a key line pie, somewhat fucked up.
Made sense. It was just, it was sort of like saying it in two different ways, but the same thing, but two different, it was weird.
WCWWrestling.com is back up. Jim Duggan's on the homepage.
He is, and they've got exciting article about WCW video game.
Yeah, you can play games, they say. You say you can play games on there.
You can play games.
They said you can play games.
Ooh, there might be like word search and paint games. And
yeah.
You know, like Midas entertainment level games for the PS1.
That's probably
get them in your local co-op and it'd be like Moses, Prince of Egypt. And it would just be like a Microsoft paint game. And it'd be like, oh, fuck, that costs £4. What the fuck?
Oh, my God.
Such a ripoff.
Or maybe they've just got a little plug into Newgrounds and you can play The Negotiator.
Oh, man. Bit of madness while playing some. Yeah.
That's probably what it is, isn't it?
Oh, man.
Larry Zabisco says, there you go, a website without a spider. I can't even start a computer.
Great. Computers are for nerds.
Computers will never catch on. I write everything down.
Give me pen and paper. You're never going to have a calculator in your pocket every day.
I use this rock on a cave wall.
I don't know. This internet thing seems like a passive fad. Like that vinyl.
Like music in general.
Like that rock music? No, it's all about Big Bop. It's coming back, baby.
What was wrong with green sleeves?
I listen exclusively to the Cherry Pop and Daddies. I am Larry Zbyszko.
God bless his soul.
Loud as fuck in his convertible, just sitting alone. Reverberating, hammering around the fucking car park. Just so ominous. Just to hear that. Coming off the... Just fucking big band music, just down the
Cherry Poppin' Daddies. So you're in the car park at like home base.
I only know who they are because I think it was American Dad featured them, and it was just like fucking ridiculous. Ah,
so
just Larry sat perfectly upright, just staring at the wall. He's parked facing the wall, just. Blasting, hammering out, like you can feel it.
This is real music. You bastard.
He's not even saying anything. He's just looking ahead.
Oh, he's just staring ahead.
You can't go up to him, like, Larry, and he's just not responsive. Song ends, and he sort of, and then the next song starts, and he just stares at the wall. Larry?
I haven't got a computer. Good job, Larry.
Occasionally, you'll just rev the engine. The engine is on. Just revving it. Grinding his teeth.
Terrifying.
Sykes himself. Just walks through the building, clear to the front, picks up the mic. Welcome to Monday Night.
As soon as he finishes, he puts the mic down, walks straight out, makes no eye contact.
Thanks.
Gets back in his car.
Sighs, turns on the engine. Just stands there. It's just...
Too many lyrics in this one.
Occasionally, there's a box next to him, and he just keeps reaching for this. It's a strangely shaped box, as well. Like it's like an irregular shape. It's about a gift box size, but you don't know what's in it. And he keeps looking at it, and he sort of reaches for it, and then sort of strengthens his hand up again, like as if he's got to compel himself to not.
Not today, Larry.
Yeah, and it's like, what's in the box, Larry?
Fuck it.
What's in the box, Larry?
What is in the
box? Eventually, one day, he comes to the car and it's open and it's just full of goo, like black goo, like oil. But he reaches in and his whole arm goes, like, and it's impossible. Like, that's sat on a car seat, but his whole arm goes in. And then he ends up, like, climbing, in, like, puts his other arm in, and he's climbing through, and then Larry sort of just falls into this box.
And that's, we never see him again.
But then Larry comes and sits back down at the seat of the car. And just shakes, sighs, reaches for the box, stops himself, and then puts on the cherry pop and down.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Surrealism.
What did that box do? What didn't it do?
I'm going to go and make this. I'm going to make this as a weird animation.
I feel like we're slowly building a new series of Monkey Pants. But with WCW guys on the 90s.
Like fucking Leland Palmer when he's got Bob going on in Twin Peaks. Just like...
I feel for him now. Back in the ring, away from Larry's mania. Lord Steven Regal is defending the only title that WCW still has, the WCW television title, against Tony Penna.
Well, it is TV, and it's Tony Pena. He is the founder of AAA Wrestling. Oh, it's not that one.
No, I had to double check that. I went, it's not the... No, it's the other one. It's Villano 4!
Villano 4.
I feel like my dad's
Villano
mate.
Villano Quattro.
I feel like my dad's mate who calls Thierry Henry Terry Henry.
I always call him Villano, but it's because there's a villain in it. Bloody villains, a lot of them.
If in doubt there was Villano 4, he's got a 4 on his trunks.
He's got, but he's called Tony Pena. The founder of AAA, is Antonio Pena.
Yes, do not get the two mixed up.
I think it was a bit of a wink and nod reference as he appears as Tony Pena here and on a house show, and then he never uses that name again. He uses a different name from that point onwards, and we see Villano every now and then, I think, as well.
So do we think it's a little dig?
I don't know, it might be a deal. It might just be literally a, hey, just like sort of, what's your name? Tony Pena. Hey.
He might have forgot his mask.
Everybody sort of laughs. Apparently, because they were quite a successful team from what I understand about the Villanos. But like, quite a successful team in Mexico. You will see moments, I think we've seen them already in 96 here on WCW TV. Maybe on pay-per-view. And then he appears more regularly for WCW as just an enhancement talent. So like in the States, I guess he just sort of makes money as an enhancement guy, occasionally working as a Villano in like a higher profile match. And then he goes back to Mexico and he's a star.
Wow.
Which has got to be quite nice.
Yeah. Make a bit of money out of that.
Just be like, oh, well, take the mask off. And if nobody knows it's me, I can just go out there, lose a bit, get a paycheck. All good. Go back to Mexico. Be a mega star.
Keep the dream alive. very snug wrestling affair to start with. Regal gets some real fucking hard strikes in on Peña.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
yeah.
Peña is in money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, batters him at one point. Few flurries from Peña before Regal drop toe holds him into a Regal stretch for the tap out win. The replay of this match is sponsored by PlayStation and Tobal number one, the first 3D fighting game.
Them's the fucking days. Tobal number one looks worse than Virtua Fighter 1.
It does.
And Virtua Fighter 1 was on the fucking Sega Saturn.
and the Mega Drive. I had it on the Mega
but
Drive.
But the Tobal number one is, yeah, it's the first sort of its ilk, I guess, where it's that complete 3D. I thought Tekken was first, but Tekken might not have been out in the States by this point.
Probably not. I think Tobal beat them.
Yeah.
Because they were very keen to point out it was the first 3D.
It's the first 3D,
first
3D
fighting
3D.
Game for the yeah. PlayStation.
They're also keen to point out that Hogan versus Piper is going to be match of the decade. Match of the decade.
Match of the decade.
Match of the decade. Remember we're still talking it. About it now. Match of the decade. Match of the century.
Mm.
I can't wake up in the morning without thinking about Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, and the Roman Empire. What about you?
In that order?
In that order. What did Romans ever do, really? Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan, they laid down the roads. They laid down civilization.
I think mine goes Roddy Piper,
mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
The meaningless of existence.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't brought children into the world yet. I should have done by now. I'm 40. Do they still work down there? Should I own my own home by now? Are my brothers more successful than I? I'm having a good time, though. Surely that's a big part of it. I hope we can afford this wedding. I'm quite sleepy today. And then Hulk Hogan. And then the Roman Empire.
Wow.
That's the morning.
So it's a lot.
and then I listen to big band music for a bit and I feel much better.
Yeah, if you pay Hulk Hogan to come in and sort out all the rest of those problems, you could just sit and listen to big band music in your convertible in a car park blasting.
That would be a dream.
You know? Who's the person that comes out and finds Larry? It's got to be somebody kind of mild-mannered. I think like Tony. Like Tony's just sort of like, Larry?
I think they send a work experience out just to knock on his window.
Like Larry?
They just knock on his window and then they have to be away. Larry, whilst doesn't react, is listening for the knock on the window. So that's when he knows it's time to go out. But if you're the work experience knocking on the window, you've got to knock and you've got to bolt.
There's a fucking room of work experience kids and it's like, they're all like 18, fresh into uni. It's their summer break. And they're all like making coffees for people and shit. But, you know, one of them knows it's night row. It's like, they're all going to draw the straw. And it's like, well, I guess you're getting Larry today.
Larry
and it's
duty.
Like, and they all draw straws for Larry. And then one of them's like, no, I did Larry last week. And it's like, it's just the way the straws work, man. Like, it's the way the straws work. I can't do it 2 weeks off the pounce. It's like, the way the straws work. It's like, you don't know what it's like, man. And it's like really scary. And they put him in the lift. And then the guy goes down the car.
There's one guy who went, oh, it's fine. I don't know why it's so weird. He went out, went up to the door, heard the big bang music, and he just knocked on the Larry, it's time. And he came back, he went, yeah, it was fine. I knocked on the window. I said, Larry, it's time. You fucking spoke to him.
You fucking spoke. Fuck. And then you just hear like screams from down the like Godzilla's just showed up. Like you just fucking just shit getting trashed. People like screaming, explosions, and it's like, what is
No
happening?
One saw that kid again.
No.
His parents' house burned down.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what the government wants you to think.
Oh!
Yeah.
It didn't. They weren't his parents.
The box needs sustenance, Tom. The box requires sustenance.
The box connected to the cube or not?
The box is a cube, Tom.
Oh, no! It's all cube. Connected!
It's a cube full of space.
Is Larry the origin of the cube?
Is Larry the origin of the species?
Fuck! Larry birthed the... Larry... Larry, like, nurtured the cube.
He raised it up from a little oxo.
And there it is now. Oh, fuck me. It's black goo.
Well, it's how it looks. It's how it looks, yeah, in the car park. But really, it's more of a beefy brown.
Oh shit!
Under like the sunlight, so like you realize it's Bovril, and so he falls into like space, but space is actually Bovril.
Fuck. Larry doesn't want to do it though.
Or Larry.
He just
Larry.
Has to.
Larry.
It's his burden.
It's Larry's burden to bear. Larry doesn't want to have to deal with this. Like, nobody would want to have to deal with this. But if Larry deals with this, then it means nobody else has to deal with this.
Yeah.
Right?
But he can't say that.
He can't say that because he's a heel. But, like, Larry, deep down, he's got to bear this, right? It's maybe something that's a family thing. Maybe, like, his dad had it and his dad before him. And if you go all the way back to the 1800s, it was just a guy sitting on a horse with an actual big band just playing. It's next to him, just staring at a tree, you know.
Larry
the
knows
wall of a tavern.
Larry knows what we talked about with the cube will just run everything, but he knows that if he doesn't cultivate it and culture it, it'll be far worse.
Yeah.
So this is the best option. I promise you, this is the best option. Is the cube running everything? It could be much worse.
Do you think the cube might gets a little bit bigger each time it swallows somebody? But only like a really tiny amount. It's not noticeable.
Yeah, an unnoticeable
until
amount.
Until it's eating thousands and it's getting slightly bigger and it's like, okay.
And then one day Larry has a bigger car.
Yeah, so the cube started off with his great-great-grandpappy like finds it underground on he finds it on a Native American burial site or something.
Yeah, that seems
something
about
mystical.
Right. Yellowstone.
And then like he puts it in his pocket and he's like, oh, this is pretty interesting. It's got an interesting look to it. And then slowly it corrupts his mind and it compels him to feed the cube.
Oh, so it's the One Ring as well.
Well, maybe, but maybe he nurtures the cube unknowingly, and the cube slowly takes over his mind.
And before he knows it, he's more cube than man.
More cube than man. Yeah,
aren't we all?
No,
no.
Only Larry's family. Only the Zabiscos.
Only the who carried the bird.
Zabisco, which is cube speak for cube bearer.
Zabisco in the cube language means he who holds the cube.
Yeah. He holds.
Do you not think his name was weird?
He's the Kwisatz-Haderach.
All those Zs and Ys and Ks? That was a giveaway.
I knew it was written by Frank Herbert. God damn.
It's a dead fucking giveaway. His name is Zabisco, which is alien talk for he who holds the cube. No one fucking clocked that. I'd love Larry Zabisco to hear this podcast.
We've gone off on this fucking bizarre second.
I'm going to send this to Larry Zabisco. Larry, your thoughts on this with no context?
He sends back legal papers. And that's, don't you ever fucking mention my name again.
Don't mention. No. He sends legal papers that say, do not mention the cube.
Don't you ever mention the cube again.
Who the fuck told you?
Who the fuck told you about the cube?
Yeah, that's it. Who the fuck told you about the cube?
Men in Black meeting. But it's like a classic 70s Men in Black meeting or 50s Men in Black meeting.
We get kidnapped.
So some of the reports of like 40s and 50s Men in Black meetings are like two guys that turn up dressed as you'd expect them to be dressed, but one of them's just wearing like very bizarre face paint, something that like just wouldn't be done at the time. And so if you like they're very threatening and ominous and everything, and then they just sort of disappear. You never see them get into a car or anything. And then it's like, oh, well, the guy had like all this face paint. I said, face paint? You're crazy. Because it's just like, oh, who walks around town wearing face paint? But it's like one of those, but it's really ominous. And it's two Larrys. But are you like Larry? He's like, no. Like, he doesn't even talk. He's just not like, really. Just like, you don't know anything about the cube. Okay. Okay. And he blinks sideways like this.
Oh, fucking hell. He blinks. Your eye in the distance catches somebody sat in a car playing big band music.
And as you look up, there is just the faintest outline of this like 5 kilometer cube above you. You see like the light just catch one of the edges. And it's like, and you sound like can't hear anything, but you can feel the weight of it.
You can emotionally feel it.
Yeah.
And they go, did you see the cube? And you go, no. Sorry.
What if they take you on board? What if you return as a Larry?
How do you know?
Not an appearance, but you're just you are just sat here and all you can do is talking Larryisms.
How do we know that we haven't been there already?
Do you ever lose time?
Yeah.
No, maybe you go to the cube. Maybe you go to the cube.
Maybe. I wonder. That explains something that happened with Alex the other night.
Mm.
And this is a legit thing.
She said she saw me walk out of the balcony and levitate toward this giant cube in the sky.
It's about Larry Zabisco. Alex said a thing the other night, and I think it's hilarious, where she woke me up in the night, it was about half one in the morning, and she wrapped me on the arm, and she went, and who are you again? I went, I'm Tom. Oh, you're Tom, are you? Yeah? I went, yeah, I'm your husband, right? Okay, so you're Tom. That's what you're telling me. Yeah, I'm Tom. Okay, well, there's just a lot of people around here that I don't know. I said, I'll go. I said, I've learned. I play along with this, and it calms. Yeah. I go, I'll go and find out who they are. And you're like, no, you better.
Yeah, you have to.
Sleep.
You have to, because it's like you can have full blown conversations with somebody.
It's
when
amazing, isn't it?
It's like you've got to sort of talk them back to sleep.
It was so aggressive. And who are you again? So I think she'd been up. And then
she's
that was
been
a,
at the cube.
She's been in the cube.
Or she's been intercepting cube.
She doesn't
cube broadcasts
because she was very cube upset cast. The next day because she was like, I can't remember doing that.
I had a dream last night that it kept, and it's very ominous because there's an eclipse about to happen. But it kept insisting that I had to, and it's the first time I've ever had this happen in a dream. It's like, you need to remember this. And it's kept being like, you need to remember this.
Oh,
you need to remember
this. Into you.
And it was like, it was about a big red sunshade. And it was this thing, it was like a big red like sheet that was like huge. And it would cover like part of the sky to protect like part of the sky in front of your like window or whatever to protect you from the sun. Like the light was bad. Like the light would make you crazy or something. And it was kept being like, you need to remember this. And it was like slightly perforated. And I was like, okay. It was about this thick, big square red thing. And I was like, right. Oh, make a note of that in the little notepad next to the bed.
And is it, that might come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
Mean Gene.
Yeah, and Rick, the Ricky Steiner.
Rick Steiner's back, and Rick acts like he's been to the fucking cube. He's like, what's been going on?
I've been to Japan.
I've been to Japan, so I've not been looking at any news. What's Sting doing?
And when we get to that New World Order, it'll be No Way Out 2002.
Yeah, yeah. He did say, he said that soon NWO will mean No Way Out. Rick says that he and Scott are 110% WCW. They will not be broken by the WCW
fealty.
Machine, by the NWO machine. He is confused by Sting's alliance, but he says soon, as we say, NWO will mean No Way Out. Bit of foreshadowing.
Very nice.
Maybe. The US tournament continues with Conan and Eddie Guerrero. This is where Tony Schiavone reveals that he's going to be pulling double duty from now on because Bischoff will not be on hour two of Nitro. How will we know when hour two starts?
Well,
if Eric Bischoff doesn't have sound errors, sound problems.
It will still feel like seizure inducing. So I think we'll always know when hour two starts. but I saw Eddie come out and I was like, oh, Eddie's nickname should be Haircut, like Eddie Haircut Guerrero. And I was like, what's Conan going to be? I couldn't think of anything. So Conan's just the hat glasses shirt. Conan, the hat glasses shirt.
The hat
versus, I mean, there's like the Ray the Little Boy Mysterio. Alex actually Belgian, right?
You've had a bit of an off day with the nicknames because I'm seeing Richard the Rick the Dog Steiner.
Yeah. Eric Teddy Juice Bischoff. Disco the Greggy Bear Inferno. Tex-Mex Whopper. Rick the Ricky Steiner. I like it. Rick the Ricky Steiner. But he's also Rick the Dog, Richard Rick the Dog Steiner as well.
I mean, they're good. They're not your, they're certainly outings.
Jeff, not a horse, Jarrett?
I mean, that's probably your best one for the day. Not a horse, because he isn't a horse. Lovely dive outside the ring by Eddie Haircut onto Conan hat, glasses, shirt. Very early into the match, Conan's in charge as Tanay and Heenan welcome us to hour two, and Tony does a sprint from the side of the ring onto the big table.
Yeah, he's quickly, oh, it's so nice to be up here.
Fucking hell. Conan looks smooth as fuck here. Yeah, lovely gut wrench slam, lovely grapevine.
It's just, it's purely educational watching them both. It's mental. It's absolutely mental.
He's so good. Heenan asks how many Guerreros there are. Is there, oh, he knows them all. Larry, Curly, Moe, and Shep. It's a Stooges reference. See, I was worried that all the old telly references were just kept on Raw because Vince goes, people still watch.
People can't get enough of Little Richard,
people
pal.
People love Tiptoe Through the Tulips, pal.
I tell you what, everybody loves the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. Larry Zbysko won't shut the fuck up about the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. just echoes around the room. Oh.
So Conan goes for a powerbomb. for the finish. Eddie sort of twists his body midair.
It sort of, yeah, it shifts the weight around, causing Conan's center of gravity to switch, and then Conan sort of falls flat on his back. And this allows Eddie to capitalize.
I wasn't sure if he was going for a drop kick or a cross body. A bit of both, maybe. But either way, it allowed Eddie to get a very sneaky pin for the three. Big win by Eddie. He advances in the tournament so far to face nobody.
Lovely.
Tony, Mike, and Bobby are on the top table. They officially welcome us to hour two of Nitro. We get some stills from World War III.
We don't want to give too much away, pal. There is an official replay happening tomorrow night.
And they really push this. I miss like the good old days of pushing the premieres.
Yeah.
Of encore presentations. Oh. We get stills, though. Harlem Heat and the French Canadians. And Sherry's 5 minutes with Colonel Rob, which even in the stills looked like fun.
What was it? Like the Rob Le Parker, I think they're calling him now.
Yes, he is from the Foreign Legion now. Foreign Legion Rob Parker. And stills from Dean versus Psychosis and the three-way tag title match that we saw between the Nasties, the Faces of Fear, and the Outsiders that saw Nash and Hawk win the tag titles.
Very nice.
Jerry Sags suffered a mild concussion after getting hit with a chair on Nitro on the 18th of November. So he worked that match that we saw at World War III with a mild concussion. Ooh. I would have just not had him on.
I guess did the company know? I don't know. But yeah, it's probably safer to have kept him off the card.
So, watch the Goncourt presentation. Big Bubba. Big Institutional Bubba.
Big Institutional Bubba versus Richard the Rick, the Dog Steiner. I need the shirt that Bubba's wearing. If anybody has it or can make me that shirt, I need it. I need that shirt. I'm not kidding. Like, it's sick. I love it. I want the shirt, but with sleeves. I don't do cutoffs, but I want that shirt. So somebody hit me up.
Get on it.
I want the Big Bubba shirt.
We zoom in on some weird bloke in black and blue face paint wearing an NWO cap looking very, very ominous.
Was he the... when he's just stood there going...
Just stood there.
We got a new debut. He's doing like a Lucha mask as well or something, isn't he?
I think it's just a rando in the crowd.
Rando crowd with face paint. It was
weird. Rando in the crowd. Rick Steiner walks to the ring, screams at the camera, "Sting, I never thought I couldn't trust you. What's happening to you, Sting? Arr!
I've not been watching any TV while I've been away. Can somebody fill me in, please? Woof, woof.
I mean, first of all, that wasn't Sting. That was the camera. But also, your point is completely undermined by the fact that you get your... you bark like a dog at the end. Sting, you've turned your back on us. I hate you. Arr!
Yeah, people that haven't watched wrestling... Is he barking like a dog? He's barking like a dog. Oh, my God. You watch this.
But then I liked how he added a little bit of story, straying down the hard cam, very much like Dalton Castle does in Ring of Honor.
You notice that Jimmy's going through his phase with his little Misfits logo on his back and everything?
I thought that was intriguing.
It's not a phase, Mom. It's like proper, like
he's only 25 here.
Yeah. The eternal Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, he is. Every time I see him, I'm like, you literally look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Every time I see
him. It wouldn't surprise me if they find like biblical paintings and drawings and Jimmy Hart is present with like an early bullhorn managing some early Hogan with stuff just drawn all over himself.
Riding a T-Rex.
Wearing a nice set of robes with his own face just drawn on the back of it.
Hard-hitting big boy match interrupted by the appearance of Sting, who heads down the stairs. Rick sends Bubba out of the ring. Sting gets into the ring, drops Rick Steiner with a Scorpion Death Drop.
He probably deserved it.
Now, this is it. Anybody that is doubting Sting is getting dropped.
Well, anybody that's doubting Sting and anybody that's making dodgy dealings that we may or may not know about, that may or may not have already happened, that's going to become a thing as it becomes more crazy over the next year or so. But yeah, anybody that's sort of questioning Sting is getting their ass whooped.
Basically, yeah.
He had a face on a NASCAR, don't you know?
That was his apology, NASCAR.
Yeah, it was his apology. They were so sorry, they got him a whole NASCAR.
I believe they do that through Moonpig now.
Yeah. Send one to your ma.
Send you, sorry, can't be there for Mother's Day. Here's a NASCAR.
With Sting's face on it.
Have Sting's face on it. Why is Sting's face on it? You like him, don't you? You love Fields
of
Barley.
You fucking love the 1996 NASCAR Sting car.
Bubba rolls back into the ring, picks up the win after Sting has done the deed. And then Bubba goes, WCW stronger than ever. And like, there was a clear example of it not being, which is why I liked you.
But this is WCW stronger than ever. We're going to beat NWO. Yeah. We just had two pro WCW guys.
You just beat one of them.
Yeah, it's, you're in fighting is what you're doing.
Basically.
WCW is eating itself.
Eating itself alive. a Lee Marshall road report is next. He's battered and bruised. I think he got a bit of a kick in at World War III.
Yeah.
But he's at a Nitro party in Dayton.
I'm here at the party. I'm here at the party. And Lee is also part of the Larry stuff. But you don't know. It's like Lee's just waiting in this hotel. It's like a motel. And there's just this ominous sort of hum. There's just this hum. It's just this hum.
From the light.
And yeah, there's the light hum, but there's like a deep hum that nobody else can hear, but he can. It's sort of
like a low guttural.
And occasionally, you're like room service, and you'll see him just be like, "Oh, thank you very much." And he comes and he sits down, and he goes back and sits in the chair, and he's staring at this like lamp, and you just hear this fucking thing. And then when Larry looks at the box, that's like he's doing something to try and compel Larry to look at the box or something, or he's compelled to do something.
So he's further up.
Or Lee's getting phone calls from different people, or the phone keeps ringing, but he only picks it up at a set time to do the Nitro thing, and then he puts it down. I don't know. Lee's involved in some way.
Well, I've got to go. We're playing Pin the Tail on the Weasel.
Oh, I'm here at the party and everything. And he's just sat there, just silently, just sitting there.
Lee, hold the phone out. Let's hear the party. Oh, no, it's too what? No, Lee, hold the fucking phone out. Let's hear the party you're at. Oh, okay, guys, I've got to go.
No.
Who's telling you to go?
No.
Oh, Jessica, put her on.
No. What he'd do is he'd go, okay. And then you just see him open his mouth. And it would just make the noise of a party.
Fucking
hell. Like, and then Eric's like, okay. And then he's just like, I'll see you next week. Click.
I'm just... Put your phone out. Let's hear the party. Oh, okay.
Just sure.
That's all for next week. I'll see you later.
Why do you doubt me? It just goes silent again. It gets very ominous.
Why do you doubt me?
And the electrics start to like flash in the room. And it's like, do you not believe? And it gets very ominous.
Fucking hell.
And then we cut back to Larry just waiting. And some like assistant just being like, I don't want to talk to him.
I think the real WCW should be all the stuff on the fucking periphery. The Twin Peaks bullshit going on around the ring. They'd have won the ratings war for more than 83
weeks.
Oh,
God, yeah.
They really would have done.
Absolutely.
Psychosis. Speaking of which, appropriately so. He's facing Rey Mysterio Jr. Ultimo Dragon and all his belts, along with Sonny Ono, are out to have a little watch. Very quick encounter, this one.
Yeah, I sort of expected more.
I wonder whether they've just got the timings a little bit skewed. Yeah. So they're having to pad a little bit or rush a little bit. Psychosis has got a guillotine leg drop in, which is very nice. Mm. And then Rey reverses a top rope razor's edge with a Hurricane Rana. Guess the three.
Yeah, I think getting the reverse Rana was pretty cool, but it was sort of, it did feel like, oh, was that the finish?
Yeah.
Even
Ultimo Dragon and Sonny Ono seemed surprised. That was the finish. They looked like, whoa. What's happening there? I don't want to fight him again. And I think they're gearing up to another Rey Dragon match, which I am all for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me 10 of those.
And
they
get Ricky
you.
The Dragon in there as well.
Ah, oh, yeah. And Imagine Dragons, the band.
And Ricky the Dragon is actually inside of him. There's no musculature or skeleton. It's just fire. It's just fire.
How would you wrestle fire?
No, well, he's got a wrapper. He's got like skin. He feels like a normal person.
He's got
like,
a wrapper.
You can feel the musculature and everything, but like actually inside of him, if you just took his face off, it would just be fire.
Just be flames.
They'd just be flames.
Is it painful?
Like,
for
if he like took his head off like that, it would be like a chimney stack, just flames coming out, and he just puts it back on.
It's not painful. It's not painful for him.
No.
Okay, that's all right then.
He is fire.
He's just fire.
He is the embodiment of fire.
Does it hurt anyone when they wrestle him?
Well, no, he's got the wrapper.
Okay, no, but just in case, what if the wrapper rips?
Well, if the wrapper rips, then yeah, I mean, you're going to get burned, but...
As they always say.
Yeah.
What if Ricky, the embodiment of fire, goes into the box?
I think that's a question that you don't ever want to know the answer to.
Shit. I don't know whether it would destroy the box or whether it would feed the box.
Is Ricky for or against the box?
Are we for or against the box?
This is the question.
What is box?
Love the box.
Best love the cube. No, we love the cube.
Love the cube.
Love the cube. Mean Gene is chatting to Woman and Benoit. Benoit has a dirty black eye.
Yeah.
So there was a house show event over the weekend where we had Benoit and Kevin Sullivan just have another fucking scrap.
Well,
in Baltimore.
I mean, given the real life personal situation that's budding around all of this.
Mm-hmm. Benoit says, "Look into my eyes. What do you see?" And I just went, "Called a personality." Benoit says he knows Sullivan has corporate stroke, but he shouldn't choose the coward's way out and just sack him. They should fight.
Yeah, he's like, "You made your problem worse. He sent your dungeon after me. Six men couldn't take on one man. Your whole dungeon's useless," all this stuff. And then a woman gets on the mic and she's like, "I told you, if you struck him one more time, that it was over, it's over." And she just storms off. So it's like, right, real life is spilling in. Everybody's a bit like, Kevin Sullivan's wife's just left him on telly? Oh my God. How he's got proper embarrassed him.
Never mind that. I've seen that man in the car park who's got a box full of goo.
Don't you talk about the box.
Is that guy made of fire? Why are we talking about a marital dispute when there's a man made of fire? And a fucking box is eating people?
The box doesn't eat people.
Some guy making noises box, out of his mouth like box, a pie?
The box compels people to climb in.
Doesn't eat people. It reassuringly encourages sustenance.
Come on in. The Bovril's warm.
Come on in. The Bovril's scalding. Yum yum.
Just the thought of Larry just climbing into it.
Is he just addicted to the idea of the box?
And then Larry just turns up just after Larry's already been swallowed by the box. I think Larry is completely mind fucked by the box.
Yeah.
I think the box treats Larry like a pet. And I think Larry's aware of this. But I think Larry is a lot stronger than the box realizes. And I think the box is sort of setting itself up for failure eventually, because one day Larry is gonna be able to go no.
The box is on a hiding.
And he's gonna throw the box like into the river. But that's only gonna make things worse. But Larry doesn't know that.
We get footage at this point, not of the box, sadly, because the box is probably the best part of this show, and it's not even on the fucking show. Do you remember that episode of Nitro with the box?
Again, it's like Graggle Simpson.
We made a fucking Graggle Simpson of this episode of...
The WCW box. Oh, yeah, the cardboard box.
I listened to that episode of the Nitro review, and they talked about that episode with Larry Zbysko and the box.
Don't you talk about the box.
Oh, dear God. If Larry does a Q&A. I was listening to this podcast. And they talked about the box you had in the car park.
You were sitting
what are your
cabal?
Memories of that time?
The cherry pop and daddies. And you just were staring at a wall and breathing aggressively.
We've got to be so careful, because I have a history of manifesting and people who support the manifesting.
I'm 100% going away and I'm animating this weekend.
You are, aren't you?
This weekend, when I wake up at 8 a.m. for some reason on Saturday and go, well, I guess I'm staying up for 24 hours. And then the next day, be like, I guess I'm staying up again for 24 hours.
That'll be it.
Yeah.
You know Cad Icarus?
Yeah.
Right. I decided when me and Fraser did a live stream of an AEW show that we should just pretend that Long Dennis has just joined AEW. So I made a Long Dennis is All Elite graphic, and we just went on about it. He was debuting for Collision, and to the point where, bless somebody, I'm sorry, I'm going to get him in front of me. Went to a con where Cad Icarus was asking questions, and they asked him, "Is Long Dennis joining All Elite Wrestling?"
If somebody could ask Larry about the
that episode of Nitro with the box.
The box that acts as a conduit to another place. That's, I guess, the best way. It's like a membrane. It's like a door to something else. Nobody knows what it is, but it's a door to something else.
I both really want them to do it and not do it.
I just want to think about this box now. Huh. Well, that's a quote. I just want to think about box. Ooh.
What we can think about is the box that held the contract as we circle back again. Oh, Jesus. We're always just circling the island that is Nitro on this podcast.
It's like being stuck at a fucking busy day at like over Heathrow waiting to land. You've been up there for an hour now. You keep going past and getting a little glimpse. And it's like, oh,
there it goes.
No, okay, we're taxiing over again. Okay, great. Fantastic.
We get full footage of the contract signing from World War III between Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan. They're having a match at Starrcade, don't you know? So we watched this last week. Piper's in the ring and the NWO come out with Bischoff. And, oh, this is, as I said to you at the time, of a time.
Yeah.
Of a time.
I think that's the best way to put it.
Roddy Piper is upset that Hogan's not there, but Eric Bischoff is. And Piper refers insultingly to Eric as someone who gets their hair and nails done and calls them a little lying, flake, gay, wonderful human, which is an insult in 1996.
Yeah.
If I was called a wonderful human in 2024, I'd be delighted. Hogan then gets to the ring and he gets Piper to show the world the scar from his hip replacement surgery.
No, it might be this shot that I'm thinking of, the one from World War III. It might be that one. It's either the last shot or this one. But ultimately, yeah, when they walk out, it's like fucking, yeah, it's cool as fuck.
When it looks really cool, because Bischoff does that
with his hands. You got like Hogan like leading the pack at the front and everything.
Might have been that one then. Hogan gets Piper to show the world the scar from his hip replacement surgery, saying that he's, you know, calling him a cripple and such before signing the contract. And then Hogan says, I can't wait to beat up a gimp.
Meaning he's seen Pulp Fiction this week, meaning Hogan wants some of that Travolta money. He's done with fucking ninjas and theme parks and being Mr. Nanny. He wants some cheesy one-liners and you know, he wants to work with Tarantino.
If Hogan had meant gimp in the Pulp Fiction sense, that would have been fine. But unfortunately, he means it in another sense that is very...
Yeah.
They will not fly in modern era.
He means it in an ableist sense.
He means it in an ableist sense. The NWO then beat up on Piper. They whack his hip replacement scar with a steel chair and spray paint it.
Stomp on it and spray paint NWO into the scar. Just...
Piper then gets up to fight. He tips the table over on one leg at this point as the NWO flee.
Hogan got a good hockle in, though, as well. You saw him proper draw back on the... And it was like, oh,
gosh on him as well. I feel like... they make Piper look weak or strong. Yeah. The fact that he stood up at the end was good, but I just get the vibe that, oh, they are just fighting an old guy who's had his hip replaced.
This is it. It's sort of... We've gone from being this... They've become everything WCW was painted to be by WWF with that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, look, he's so old, he's had his fucking hip replaced. And yeah, that becomes a normal thing in wrestling, right? It probably was already a normal thing by then with hip replacements and knee replacements and things like that. Just a natural part of any job, I guess, where you're high impact stuff. But to physically draw attention to it and be like, hey, all the way back then, the war that didn't settle the score and all this, and look, he's so old, he's got a fucking hip scar, he's had surgery.
Here's the fucking joke, right?
Is he younger than Hogan?
He's a year younger than
Fuck
Hogan.
Fuck off!
Hogan born 11th of August, 1953. Piper born 17th of April, 1954.
Incredible.
He's younger than Hogan!
Absolutely incredible.
You dinosaur, Piper! Fuck it, Al Hogan!
Look at him! He's so old! He's so old! And he's got a crusty stuff around his mouth!
That is the ultimate joke of this whole thing of Piper of Hogan going, you old fossil, Piper. Mate, you're 6 months older than him. That is the whole crux of this story. Oh. And Hogan is older.
Yeah.
Fucking joke. Alex Wright and Jeff Jarrett next as we come back to live telly. Alex Wright gets some lovely head scissors in on my best friend Jeff Jarrett and a springboard Vader bomb.
There's some real moments of brilliance here. Alex Wright is an underrated wrestler as is, even at this point in, you know, when he's been featured on TV, underrated as hell. But there's moments where he's going for like big corner boots and stuff, and it's stuff you see today.
Yeah,
and it's like this is like you can tell like he's somebody who's just that little bit further forward, and I sort of wish that we could have had. Could you imagine like Alex Wright coming up to the scene in 2015, 2016, over here? It'd be like in Europe. Like if he was working with the WXW and shit around that time, like it'd be massive.
He would have been
a
big deal.
Huge. Like
He'd have probably been on NXT by this point.
Maybe if he wasn't so much of like a chipper. So yeah, I mean, there's ways to do it. But like, I think like just in terms of the in-ring, I think Alex Wright could have really shone like and been appreciated for that, like on a level where, you know, we'd eventually come to appreciate that style.
I think so.
But in this match, it's just basically Jarrett's got that little bit more experience.
He has. It's proved when Wright misses a corner dropkick and it leaves Jeff open to locking in the figure four and getting the tap out win. No real mention of the Horseman. No real mention of the story that Jeff's been weaving lately.
No.
I fear we're moving away.
A little bit, but I think, we, you know, you've got to tie a bow in everything eventually. And we've also got to wonder
still
where,
so much bow to tie.
Where's Jeff come from as well?
WWF.
Did he? Or did he come from the cube?
We all came from the cube.
People don't see him arrive or travel anywhere. They just see him next to Larry's car.
Oh, so you think he came out of the box?
Maybe.
So hang on.
Maybe Jeff Jarrett is an interdimensional being, akin to like something from like Stephen King.
I thought the box just consumed.
Well, I think if it's a portal, then maybe there's a way through.
So Jarrett has learned to circumnavigate.
Maybe Jarrett's not Jarrett. Maybe Jarrett is an eternal, like Cthulhu style, you know, like, oh my God, what's his name? Lovecraft, like a Lovecraftian being. He takes the shape of like, he's like, what do you call him from The Stand? He's like fucking the bad guy.
I'm not sure.
Oh my God, what's his name again? He's got Randall Flagg. Oh, man. He's just this old fucking West.
That's a fucking mate. NXT name, that is.
Oh, mate.
No, Randall like, Flagg.
If you've not got time to read it, watch the recent The Stand TV series. It doesn't do it fully justice, but The Stand is like...
Is there a cartoon version?
There probably will be somewhere, I'd
imagine.
But like, it, holy shit. Like, yeah. Yeah. Ominous as fuck.
I mean... potentially, then Jeff Jarrett could be,
or maybe he's just standing next to the car to make it look like he's come out of the cube because he's heard all the buzz. And we already know he's standing next to the Horseman to look like he was a horseman. And so maybe he's trying to pretend that he's this eternal 1,000-year-old, but also a cowboy.
He's telling people that he has traveled with the box just to make himself look fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got here through the box. Oh, easy. I can travel through the box.
And they're all like, you've seen the box? And he's like, oh, that old thing?
Yeah, I haven't seen the box.
But then when he's alone and next to it, he hears it. He hears the same buzzing and humming that everybody else hears.
Oh, see, I didn't think
sometimes
he did.
Sometimes he sees it twitch. Maybe, well, that's if he's human. If not, if he's from the other side, then
I think
no,
he's a human that's just giving it bullshit.
Then, oh, yeah, if he's a human that's giving it bullshit, then yeah, he's just sort of like, yeah, he's like yeah, Mr. Satan in Dragon Ball Z.
Well, go and...
Like, I'm the strongest.
Go over to Larry in the car in the box then. Nah, I ain't going to do that. I don't do it in front of an audience. I don't need to prove anything.
But then they make him do it, and he gets within 8 feet, and then he can't take it anymore. And he's genuinely being like, guys, like, seriously, stop.
Yeah. I you know what?
And
I'm
like, go on, Jeff.
You.
Go on. No. And he has to just give up.
I'm going
to
get bullied.
He's emotionally scarred because of it. Like, he's just
tears
in
running
pieces,
down his face.
And he's just like, just give me 2 minutes. And then he just storms past.
Gotta go to the dentist.
And they're all just like looking at the car, and all you hear is still just cherry popping down. He's just staring at the wall. This is going to be a thing.
What went through Jeff's head?
Well,
poor guy.
It's sort of like, did you ever see like Judge Dredd, the Carl Urban one?
Yes.
You know, like the Judge Anderson sequence where she goes in somebody's brain.
Oh.
So maybe it was something like that where he's just stood there and this entire thing's just happening to him. But you never know.
Right.
Flashes of what if your dad wasn't Jerry Jarrett? What if you were driving a post van instead of being a wrestler? Oh, or it could be even like, what if you don't save the world, Jeff? Just a very broad question like that. It's like,
oh, bless him. That's a lot.
You have to ask him about it next time.
I'll call into my world and find out.
Yeah, Jeff. So when you were dealing with the cube,
you know the Larry Zbysko bit with the box on Nitro. I think it's November 25th, 1996. Larry's in the car park with the box. We talked about it.
Cherry popping daddies.
The thing is, we're doing this now, and I'm 40 years old now. Yeah. There's a strong chance that if I'm still on this planet in 40 years' time and I have some sort of dementia, I'm going to sit and argue the toss with somebody going, there was an episode of Nitro where Larry had a box.
The government banned it. They deleted all
the
tapes.
It's not on the network. Well, someone's
Graggle
messed
Simpson.
With it.
Graggle Simpson.
I'm just going to have some sort of episode and I'm just going to argue with somebody going, don't you fuck... You got time for your meds, Grandad. No. I was there. I watched it. I saw Larry with the box.
I saw the box with
I
my own eyes.
I saw it.
Nobody believes me. I
Ring
heard it.
Ring Sam.
I felt the box. The box knows me.
Ring Sam. No one's seen Sam for 30 years. But ring him! Here's his number. It just clicks off.
It rings. It oddly rings, even though I've been missing for 30 years. It just keeps ringing.
He'll answer in a minute. And then the nurse goes, he's been trying to ring someone called Sam for the last 3 hours.
And then at the end of the episode, you're just sitting there. It's 4 a.m. The phone has just been left ringing, 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 ringing. And then you just hear, click, loads of static. And maybe I'm on the other side of the box.
Oh. I'd love that. I was right. I feel vindicated by that. Mm. I like how you called it an episode.
Coming
and I was just calling
dimension.
It my life. The end of the or unless you're using oh, no, you the become, unless you're become, using the very actual, very literal term of an episode.
Have you seen 2001: A Space Odyssey?
Yes.
So sort of like the intergalactic zoo bit, like that. That's what's going to happen. Is you're going to come through the box into like another dimension, and you'll just be this ethereal being that's eternal, and we have to fight whatever's inside the box.
At least that's what I'm seeing. But then. Hard cut to 3 nurses and 2 policemen as I'm in the Ouseburn petting farm.
We're just twitching. We're taking far too much medication. We're just sitting there like, and then we're just playing in the stream. Just like.
But they're so happy. Recap of World War III. I remember World War III! The Giant hoying Mysterio out of the match was a very impressive moment, which led to the Giant winning the 60-man battle royal afterwards, soon afterwards. He's got a title shot against Hogan. He probably won't use it. Fucking great use of World War III, lads.
Yeah.
Well done.
I guess it's another thing for NWO to spoil, but it does feel like WCW is getting brutally kneecapped here. They've got a TV title now.
In every sense.
They've got a TV title and no number one contender and a fake tournament for a belt they don't currently possess.
But
they could
sure.
make another one. They could do whatever they want, sure, but like the original belt's still going to be the one that people want to see get like joined with whatever comes next.
I'm sure they've written a perfectly reasonable end to this story.
You ever heard the term like, we'll fix it in post?
Yes.
It's sort of like that mentality, it feels, where it's like, and where are we going to go with it? Worry about that later.
Yeah.
What we're going to worry about this week is we've got 7 matches that we need to fucking sort now. And it just feels like a lot of it is, worry about that later. And it's like, but now it's sort of when we start to get to points where it crosses, that's when it gets dangerous. Where it's like, well, we worried about it later, we've worried about it later, and now these things are conflicting.
All we're doing is worrying about
what
it.
What are we doing?
Main event tonight is Faces of Fear versus Harlem Heat.
I mean, love Harlem Heat. Love Faces of Fear, but what an odd main event.
Odd main event. Mike, Bobby, and Tony say World War III was the greatest pay-per-view ever. Meng and Stevie Ray swap strikes before Barbarian and Booker leap into the ring. There's not really much of a match. It kind of feels like they're the opening segments of a match.
Yeah,
and then
you get the expected fare.
But then everyone just keeps jumping in. We did get some nice double team moves. A side slam Harlem sidekick combo.
Yeah.
Sorry, a side slam axe kick combo. And then a nice backdrop powerbomb combo.
Yeah.
Very nice. I believe it's a move that Reese and Rogan are doing on the indie circuit in the UK. Meng works on Booker T for a bit. Stevie gets bored, jumps in to save him, and all 4 men are brawling, and then the NWO charge to the ring, beat the fuck out of everybody. Giant one-handed choke slams Meng, which is very impressive.
Big boy.
The NWO pose as fans throw rubbish at them. There's a lovely moment where a cup comes flying towards the Giant. He perfectly lifts his hand up to swipe it away. Like 100 points.
Yeah.
Like nobody asked. 200 points. Perfect points. And the show ends with NWO standing tall.
Complete with Buff Bagwell.
And Buff Bagwell in his NWO shirt looking lovely. Oh, mate, this was just like an episode after a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Where they've again gone, we haven't thought of an out for this yet.
Here is every single result. Here is a load of footage of stuff you want to see.
Mm.
But make sure, if you're going to do anything, you pay us $40 for that fucking pay-per-view replay tomorrow night.
You better watch the encore or we're going to have your arms off. This does feel like it's very NWO heavy. There's a long story being told.
Yeah.
I hope they have an ending to it. Mm. Not convinced. As we say, the Observer saying that they're going to start an hour of Nitro devoted to the NWO next week, but we've had no build for it. No talk of it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We will see.
Well, I think we know. If you know your history, then we know what they do. And it's an interesting one.
They start a company called Total Nonstop Cube.
It's just every match the Cube wins. Even if the Cube's not wrestling.
Love the Cube.
We all love the Cube. I hope after this you
WWE tried to replicate the cube. Do you remember that WrestleMania where Edge had the big square and it came down the ring and it was off center and it just looked really awkward because it wasn't in the middle of the ring. It was sort of to one side of the ring, but it was in the middle of the shot. It was very bizarre.
Was that them?
I can't remember which one it was, but ultimately that was a poor attempt at mimicking the cube, and the cube didn't take kindly to that.
Well,
I can't imagine it would have anyway.
That's probably why it's not on the network anymore.
No.
We hope that you will go on from here for your daily cube rejoicing ceremony. And we will see you on your next Cubemas week for another episode of the Cultaholic Classic Cube Review.
We should all aspire to live a life that is beneficial to not only your own family, but mainly, above all else, above your spouse, your kids, your parents, faithful to the cube.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.